Let me pop open this.
Go ahead and pop that. Oh,
is that Spindrift? Is that coffee?
Yeah.
Glad you're drinking coffee.
What time is it?
3:09.
I'm good with that.
Great. Good for you.
I just need 7 hours to get it out of my system. My cutoff's at 4.
I'm going to drink a lemon Spindrift.
Right. Yeah. What time are you going to bed?
Brought to you by Lemon Spindrift.
Brought to you by Lemons. Lemons. You know, we're still a thing.
Well, here we are, episode 3.
Yep.
Of the podcast.
Yeah.
Nailing it so far. Do you think we lost? What percentage of the audience do you think we lost after listening to those first two?
We stuck in for 14 years of the show.
Yeah.
But after 2 episodes of the podcast, we're out.
Yeah.
We're out. Yeah.
Many people are going to realize that they just don't give a shit about what we have to say. But that's okay. That's all right.
We might be ruining the show. Oh, this is a lot like the show where we're just talking all over each other.
Well, how about this? For our listeners that are like, man, is this all they're going to do? They will be excited to hear. We have a guest today. That guest is Mr. Michael Jordan. So if you're a fan of basketball, turns out Michael Jordan's a big Sunny fan and...
So stick around. Hey, guys. Michael
Jordan isn't here. Just
are we
so.
As... Oh, he isn't?
No.
You son of a bitch.
No, he's probably never seen the show. But I'm a fan.
What about Michael B. Jordan? Can we get him?
Also a fan.
No, he's not available.
We're not going to get any of the Michael Jordans
he's
on
not,
the show.
I mean, all right, no, that's no, fine. No. Listen, guys, are we ever going to do an introduction of some kind to this show? Are we just going to just launch right into it? There's never any like, hey, guys, welcome to the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast. It's great to have you here. We got another episode for you today. We're going to do episode 3 of season 1. You know,
No, because you clicked on it. You know, you pulled it up, you clicked on it. If you don't know what you're listening to by now.
Well, can I fire one off just in case we want to
use it?
You just did.
I guess I did, didn't I?
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 3 of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast. We got the whole cast here. We got Rob McElhenney, we got Charlie Day, we got Glenn Howerton, we do not have Caitlin Olsen, we do not have Danny DeVito, so we don't have the whole cast, and that's okay. So basically, the premise of this whole thing is we just talk and 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 talk until you can't fucking stand us anymore.
It took no time for that coffee to shoot right in your system, right? You took a sip and it immediately... Good. Okay, I'm glad you did it, though.
Became the micro machines.
You're going to be more fun. Last week, you were just talking about how tired you are.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm still tired. It's both. It's both.
It's mania.
It is mania. I'm not tired today, though.
We're getting a real good look into what this process is like.
Yeah. So we get into the writer's room. How long do we spend doing this crap before we actually start working on an episode of the show? For people who are tuning in because they're like, oh, we... No,
what's the process?
You don't tune into a podcast. For people who are clicking on because they really are curious about our process, mm-hmm. It's a lot of this.
It is.
It's a lot of this.
It's 15, 16 years of this.
It bears fruit. We have to create space for conversations that have nothing to do seemingly with the episode that we're trying to break, only to sometimes find something within that conversation, stories about what our day was like, what our weekend was like, what the morning routine was, what have you.
It's probably why our later episodes are so much better than our earliest episodes where, again, we were just trying to find the show, but we didn't spend a ton of time talking about them. We would just sort of discuss lightly and then just go write them.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Well, so I cannot recall. It was so long ago. I have no recollection of working on that episode.
What, season 1?
Shooting it, yes, but like writing it? I don't remember writing it.
Well, that's because, I mean, in those early seasons, we didn't even have offices. Our show was so cheap to make and our budget was so small that we didn't even know to ask for offices. You know, our line producer just kind of let that slide by because it helped him save money. So we were writing out of our apartments and out of our manager's office at 3 Arts Entertainment.
Till we got kicked out.
Till we got kicked out of there because they were sick of us. Mm-hmm. We were just drinking their coffee.
I watched that episode and I'm very annoyed by those people. I'm very annoyed by myself.
Yeah, what's up? What are you feeling?
Well, I just, I don't like that show.
Hmm?
I don't like that show. That,
what do you
that
mean?
One. I don't know. I wouldn't keep watching that show if that was the first episode.
Oh, see, I like that. That's one of the, like, I actually like that.
I remember liking it. I remember thinking, oh, this is really funny. I mean, again, this is 2005 or something like that.
Right.
But I remember Caitlin being really funny.
Oh, my
and I remember.
God.
Loving you, like what you guys, and the classic Tammy stuff is great.
I remember feeling like we were sort of like hitting a stride with that episode, feeling as though, okay, this is clicking.
even though it was the third episode we aired, it was one of the later episodes that were written. It was like maybe second to yes. last episode that was written.
Oh, good memory there. I don't recall that.
Yeah, really. It was one of the...
I remember writing it really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like all those names in there, they're but all...
Those are all your high school buddies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and we really did smash Nikki Potnik's car into a tree.
Yeah. Can I clear something up for everybody? Like once and for all? The waitress's name is not Nikki Potnik, so stop it. It just isn't. It doesn't even make any sense. That's a theory that's been out there for a really long time that I would like to dispel. The waitress's name is not Nikki Potnik. That
it's
is
Picky Notnik.
Close.
It was kind of fun the way people kind of came up with that because there was the mm-hmm. episode where Danny takes the Nikki Potnik high school sticker.
Yep.
And then
the waitress shows up. And
they don't have a tag. So people said, "Oh, they're doing a kind of a sneaky thing." But we weren't that clever.
No, yeah, actually, no,
that was a mistake.
We just thought it was funny to bring back the idea of Nikki Potnik through having Frank put the sticker on, and then totally separate joke that had nothing to do with that was that even the people on the committee didn't know the waitress's name or forgot. Like that's how fucking unmemorable she was to everyone.
Yep.
Yeah. You brought up Caitlin's drunk acting. As far as I'm concerned, she puts on a clinic in that episode for like comedic drunk acting. I mean, that shit is so fucking funny. I mean, that she really looks like, was she drunk? No, she wasn't.
No, that's...
I mean, it's so real. It's so real.
That's the kind of thing people ask a lot. Like, do you guys just get like drunk like on the show all the time doing the scenes? And you're like, no, first of all, it's 7:30 in the morning on like a Wednesday. And you're doing that scene. And then you have to do five other scenes from different episodes in which you may or may not be drunk. Then you have to drive home.
We've definitely been drunk when we did, or at least I was drunk, when we did the live show. I remember being pretty hammered when we were doing the live shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? I couldn't get hammered doing the live show because I have such a tenuous grasp on my own voice as it is that like if I was drunk, I'd be like, I can't, my voice is gone.
I was getting pretty hammered.
I was getting hammered, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, when we're shooting, I don't think I've ever been drinking while we're... No, have we?
Absolutely.
Definitely. When the season it's the last scene of the last...
Yeah, there have been some other times too, but that's okay. We don't have to get into it.
No, I don't even remember.
You really don't remember? Or is it, you're not just making that up for liability
really
purposes?
No,
that's a sign of alcoholism, pal. If you can't remember.
I've got a pretty good memory.
Blacked out about it.
Well, I will say this. We it's not something that we've done in a very long time. It's some of those really early seasons. It would be like, oh, it's the last scene of the day.
Yeah.
We're drinking a beer in the bar. Let's just have one beer at the end of that. Yeah, I'm not talking about getting drunk. But I also remember actually in The Gang Gets Stranded in the Woods, we were out shooting at night and we were out in the woods. And I remember us going and getting a six pack and drinking
While
we were shooting that episode.
Or in Philly, I remember we would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we'd get a six pack to shoot one scene.
Yeah, it wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, you have like a beer or two, but you're not loaded.
No. No, you get a little bit looser and have a little fun because it's a night shoot and, you know, that's about it. But no, we weren't getting hammered or anything like that.
We should do that more, though, this season.
Well,
season 15.
You know, there's the alcoholic and you speaking, Rob.
Yeah, there he is.
Do we need to do mention?
I was drinking a beer with my grandma in the scene where I'm playing the piano with the Red Hat ladies in Philly. Mm. But we have so many episodes to talk about and so much time.
Well, let's
focus on this one. Sorry.
So, Rob, I've got a question for you, buddy, because it's a subject that comes up in this episode. Mm-hmm. Rob, why don't you tell us what Lemon Hill is?
Lemon Hill is a real place in Fairmount Park in Philadelphia where we used to go to drink after school.
Okay, tell us some good... By the way,
I feel like I'm talking about my drinking quite a bit already. This might be a bit of an intervention.
Hey, man, listen.
Yeah, here it comes.
That's okay.
So,
that's
Rob, right. Lemon Hill is becoming an issue for us.
We would go there after school, like on Fridays, and the cops wouldn't bother us, and that's where...
So it was sort of known and understood, and as long as you guys kept it together and didn't go super nuts, the cops just let it happen?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
And then there would
it was just a park or what?
Yeah, it was like an area in the park, and it overlooked the river. It was actually quite beautiful.
Oh. The Schuylkill?
The Schuylkill River.
Yeah.
But then there would be
every
once in a while there'd be a fight that would break out or something, some kind of violence.
Sure.
And then the cops would come and be like, all you have to do is just not fight.
Is not fight.
Because then no one's gonna get hurt. But meanwhile, everybody's getting in their cars and driving home. So I don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Nevertheless, I think they kind of felt like we were somewhat more responsible than this is the in the middle of the city of Philadelphia. Right. I think they had other things.
Yeah, they were busy with other things in the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. There was other stuff going on. Yeah. That they
I
really
found a dead body there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was that was years later.
Tell us about that.
And that was what the cops, I'm assuming, were spending most of their time.
Now, was that because you were returning to the scene of the crime?
No, I was.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
I was driving by.
Okay.
Driving by, and there was very clearly
what a... kind of
so you don't
body?
You don't remember a, killing him?
Was it a man, a woman, a child?
It was a man.
What ethnicity are we talking about?
It was a man who was shot, yeah.
Oh,
a shot man. How do you know he was shot?
How do you? Because I saw his brains blown out of his face.
Because he did it. Because he did
could have been bludgeoned.
That's good. That's true.
What kind of detective are you?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun story. Did it completely and totally traumatize you, or were you already hardened to that sort of thing?
No, it didn't. I don't know why it didn't. That's disturbing.
Were you erotically aroused?
I was not aroused.
Were you aroused? Be honest.
No.
You can be honest on a podcast.
I felt nothing. I felt sad.
So that's scary
I felt
too.
Sad for the person who was the recipient of that.
Don't lie. You didn't give a shit. You didn't give a shit. Did you?
I didn't care. You were amused and had something to brag about on a podcast. I definitely was not amused.
Oh, God.
You guys already knew about this.
I've told you this story before, but this is also been amused.
By the way, you and I, Charlie and I, walked in and saw a dead body.
While we're shooting in Philly.
What happened? Tell me that. I don't remember I vaguely remember that.
That was early on?
This
great. This was season 3.
Okay.
And we were shooting in Kensington, which is... lovely neighborhood, but
yeah,
how do we describe it?
It's tough.
It's bad.
It's rough. It's a little rough.
It's not doing hot.
It's a little rough.
And costumes, right? Was like, hey, your costume change. We're switching from scene to scene. They're like, your costume change for the other scene is in that little house. And we must have gotten the wrong house. So Rob and I walked
into
the house.
We just walked into a house.
The door was open, though, I think.
Yeah.
I think the door was open. And there was like a dead... teenager.
Yeah.
In a casket.
Oh, God. Oh, okay, good.
In an open casket.
No, but that's better than just finding some kid like splayed out on the couch.
Yes.
Yeah. He'd been done up. I shouldn't laugh about this, but it was, you know, we're looking back on it, it's amusing. Rob's laughing. He's holding his laughter.
Cut that. It was a dead person.
It was a fucking dead kid.
Okay, yeah.
Don't cut it. And then Rob and I are like, where's our costume?
What is happening? We didn't know what the fuck was going on. We just walk in, and I'm like, Charlie, do you see that? He's like, yeah.
And then
there's a dead kid in the room, dead guy.
Yeah, like maybe a guy in his 20s or something. And maybe not dead. I mean, we didn't take his pulse. I mean, maybe.
He was in a coffin for fuck's
sake. He was in a coffin.
I mean.
He didn't look good.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He didn't look that bad.
And did you have any feelings about that? Were you already by that time, again, you know, just a little too sort of dead inside?
I was definitely confused, mostly confused as to why we
were in the situation that we were in.
Belatedly amused. You know, like not amused
not
in the moment.
Not amused in the moment.
Terrified in the moment. And then after the fact being, you know, like, that was odd.
Yeah. That is
well, I'll tell you the body that I've...
The body that I found
in Fairmount Park was not amusing, but there was an amusing anecdote that is associated with it where I called the police, as you do when you find a dead human corpse.
Right.
And the cop came over and he was across the street so we had crossed the street. And I was just standing there and I'm looking at the body and he pulls up. He's like, yeah, you want to call him? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what do you want? I'm like, there's a dead body over there.
What do you want?
He looks at it, he goes, nah, that's just a bunch of clothes. And I was like, no, that's a body. I went over to it and I saw his head.
And I'm telling you, it's a bunch of clothes, young man.
Nah, it's just a bunch of clothes. I'm like, no, it's not a bunch of clothes. It's not. And he goes over to it and I fucking shit you not. And I have a witness, Chris Murray was with me. Chris Murray and I are watching this and the cop picks up a stick and he pushes the clothes around to see the body. And then he comes back over and he goes, that's a dead body. I was like,
hey, that's what you do when the gang finds a dead guy. You poke him with a stick.
Actually, sir, it's both. It's a dead body and a bunch of clothes.
And yes, it's
That's very sad. I got a question for you guys. Do you have any particularly amusing underage drinking stories of your own? Or how about this, more specifically, Charlie, do you remember the first time you ever got drunk? Or the first time you ever drank?
Not necessarily remember the first time I ever drank, but I do remember the first time that my buddies and I got like our hands on a bunch of beer.
What
you
happened?
Know, I think there was like sips of beers here and there that I can't remember, but
uh-huh.
There was a Mormon church down the street from me, and there was never anyone there because I don't think there's a lot of Mormons in Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a pit with like machines, like air conditioner units and things that we were like, well, no one's going to see us down there. This will be a great place to get drunk.
Into a pit.
Yeah. So somehow we got our hands on like
Charlie, let's go in this pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a 24 pack or whatever of Natty Lights.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we got down in the pit. And we just got hammered, son, on those Natty Lights.
Oh, yeah. Give us the accent. Yeah. Come on. I love it.
I just did. And then we're just down there drinking beers, you know, me and the boys.
What was that experience like for you? Were you like, oh, wow, I really like this? Or were you like, oh, wow, I'm just dizzy. I don't feel well. How did you react to it?
I think actually that was the first time we had a good time. Like, I think there was other scenarios. I've been in scenarios where I had like a beer there. I was like nervous about getting sick or whatever. Really always scared to get sick was my MO. So it kind of held me off on drinking for a while.
Like sick as in like, oh, I'm going to drink too much and throw up like
yeah,
I've seen in the movies?
Yeah, I just was terrified to throw up.
Because you've seen that in the movies or because you'd felt it?
No, because I knew that was something that could happen.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't recall. I do remember my one friend, my youngest friend, who's too young to be with us drinking, getting very sick from drinking too much. And and I felt guilty about that. I still feel guilty about it, tell the truth.
Okay. Well, I think you can let that one go, buddy. I think you can let that one go.
No. I was the oldest, you know,
Yeah, you felt that responsibility.
A little bit.
Rob, what about you, man? Do you remember the first time you ever got drunk?
I want to say I appreciate you trying to find some structure to put into these podcasts because I'm just
having fun, buddy. You know, somebody's got to keep this train on the rails. You know what I mean? Otherwise.
I'll tell you what, the first time I got really, really drunk was at Lemon Hill. And I know exactly what we were doing. We were drinking St. Ides.
Oh, yeah.
40s.
Wow.
Because, you know, you're like, you know, it was just a huge part of the culture at the time because we were all watching like gangster rap videos and shit. And you'd
it's also more bang for your buck. They're higher in alcohol content.
They are. But
take
I never
them
understood.
To your hands and.
They would get warm. So unless you drank them really fast.
Yeah.
So we drank that St. Ides really fast. And I drank two of them and I probably weighed 102 pounds.
Oh my God.
And I got violently ill. And we took the subway. We had to take a train and then the elevated train, like the subway, and puked all over the train. All over the train.
How old were you?
13.
Guys, listeners.
It's too young. It's too young.
Way too young.
Listeners, if you get a chance, go online and try to look at some younger pictures of Rob McElhenney. There is a great YouTube video of him in an anti-smoking ad where he looks about 13 or 14 years old. And I believe you were what, 20, 21?
21, yeah. 21.
the guy didn't hit puberty until he was in his mid-20s.
Yeah, it took a while. Took a minute.
So like, basically he hit puberty and then was like, okay, now I can write a show.
Yeah.
Because now
shaped
I can
my entire personality, I think, is
right. Puberty,
hitting puberty at like
not hitting
puberty till I was like 17 or 18.
Angry and overcompensatory.
Is it good? Is it good? I cannot wait to hit it. It's fun, right? Like you're gonna.
It's a transition.
The voice drops, I can't wait.
It has its ups and downs.
I cannot wait.
No, I don't think if those hormones haven't kicked in by now, Charlie.
They're coming.
I don't think you got them. I just don't think you have whatever organs produce those things.
Can eat more leeks.
Are you guys gonna ask me my story? That's fine.
No, moving on.
I was hoping that you were gonna have to ask us to ask it. I was trying to get Charlie's attention, but he was doing it naturally and it was great.
I couldn't. It's funny because I
was not at all gonna ask you.
I know you weren't. I know you weren't. That's why I brought it up because I was like, these fucking guys are so focused on themselves. They're not gonna.
No,
they don't even give a shit.
No. It's not that I didn't care. Yeah, well, that's true. I feel like we just finished this story. We were just. It was.
Totally. I was.
He saw the writing on the wall.
Well,
we were transitioning out.
Yeah. Glenn, when was the first time you went out and got and had some drinks and got drunk?
Oh, gosh. It's funny that you should ask.
If we're telling stupid stories from when we were underage, which is the theme of
the theme of the episode, sure.
Can you tell the story about when you hung yourself by accident?
Because
this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard a person
do. Yeah.
That's right. I've forgotten this.
This one is insane.
I've forgotten it. I was on a church camp. It was a 2-week long church camp, and it was actually really, really fun. And it was out in the woods, and you know, we were bunks, and it was super fucking great. Anyway, there was this
prayer groups and games and hangings.
Yeah, most of it was fun. And then there were moments where they were preaching at us and it was like, well, this is, I'll tolerate this because the rest of it's fun. Yeah. There was a barn on the grounds. It was like an old barn that I think was probably there from before this was even a camp. And the barn was decorated with all kinds of old timey Western stuff, right? Like skeletons and things and, you know, whatever, all kinds of like barn equipment and shit. I don't know shit about barns. But there was also, in one spot, I shit you not, God no, why was this there? I don't know. There was a noose hanging from the ceiling, okay? And so me and my buddy thought, you know what would be really funny? Let's jump up, let's grab the noose, and let's hold it and make it look like we're hanging, right? And so he did it, and I was like, that's really funny looking. And then I did it, and he was like, that's really funny looking. And then he did it again, and I was like, hey, let me go get somebody, and we'll be like, oh, shit, Josh, like, hung himself. Oh, my God. Yeah, funny stuff, guys. And so I went, and I got somebody, and I was like, you got to come in here. It's awful. Josh is hanging. He hung himself. And so I, you know, run in with the person, and then Josh would be there, like, hanging from the thing, from his hands, but under his neck, and, you know, with a big goofy look on his face, like, so that you know right away that it's not real. It was a joke. So then I did it, and Josh ran and got somebody. Glenn hung himself. And we did this back and forth like quite a few times. And then at one point, like he came running in with somebody and my hands were by my side. And I was hanging from the noose from my neck. And he actually shit his pants. He told me this later. He was like, dude, when I saw that, poo-poo actually came out of my butt and I shit my pants. Like he actually shit his pants. Yes,
so because his friend killed him.
Because he thought his face started fucking. Yeah. So he runs over, and I don't know how he was able to do this because it was pretty high off the ground. He moved a table under me, and then he grabbed me by my legs, somehow hoisted me off out of the noose. I fell and slammed against the table. He told me this later. I slammed my head against the table. And then he ran and got help. And while he was gone, I woke up. And I remember, it's like, you know that feeling when you get up too fast and you kind of, it goes black for a second and then everything goes back and you feel like you're going to pass out? It was like that, but times a million. And I finally came to, and I was in a room laying on a table alone. I had no fucking idea where I was or what had happened. And long story short, I was fine. They took me to the doctor and I was like, what happened? Like I was holding onto a thing, and he goes, oh, you pressed on a nerve or cut off an artery in your neck.
Cut off your carotid arteries. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I choked myself out. Yeah. I choked myself out, and then my arms just dropped. I mean, if Josh hadn't come in.
Yeah. He saved your life.
He saved my life.
Praise Jesus. What's high school like for you guys? Good experience?
Yeah. I fucking nailed it. Nailed it.
Was high school? Thriving in high school?
Nah, I don't know. I didn't feel
does
like
anyone
was...
thrive in high school? Somebody does. Somebody has great
Oh, yeah. There were, yeah, man.
I had fun in high school, but the puberty thing was tough. But then once I did catch up, like my senior year of high school, I had a good time.
Did people think you were somebody's like little brother?
I did that very classic thing where when you are insanely insecure, you completely...
You become very gregarious.
Seemed like self-confidence, which was just like arrogance. Which was masking.
And why is it that when once you did go through puberty, that didn't go away?
Yeah. Well, because it became an indelible part of my personality.
Ah.
Yeah. And I don't think you can scrape that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm working on it.
And Glenn, high school for you, you were like middle of the pack. You like got a lot of friends, not so many friends.
I was not
getting the girls.
When Glenn was a senior in high school, his girlfriend was a freshman.
No, that's not true. She was a sophomore.
Sophomore. I was pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
It's okay. High school kids should be able to.
She was my first love, Rob. So go ahead and make fun of it all you want. I really love that girl.
I wasn't making fun of it at all.
I feel like you were. I feel like you were. There's that obnoxious fucking thing that you never grew out of. I don't know. High school.
No more coffee for you, man.
Me?
Okay. Yeah. You're going dark, man.
I like it.
I know it's good.
It's like he's by
it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster.
Well, I told you guys I think I might be mildly bipolar.
Yeah.
Right. Would you rather me go drop into the depression phase?
No.
Let's keep the mania.
No.
Okay. All right.
Let's go. You know what we should do? We should have a segment of the podcast where we try to guess which part Glenn's at. Is he at the mania or the depression?
Or am I at the fulcrum or am I at the, I don't know. I had a good time in high school. I was definitely not like the most popular kid at all or even close, but I wasn't unpopular either. I managed to kind of skate by, but I remember me and my closest friends, Jody and Mark, our whole thing was we liked hanging out with everybody. When like the jocks were having a party, we'd go to that party. And if like the, you know, the kids who listened to The Cure and shit, when they would have a party, we went to that fucking party because they were fun as shit too. We just wanted to go to all the parties, basically. We wanted to go to all the parties and we liked the girls in every single segment of the population in school. We just wanted to hang out, man.
What year did that start for you? Sophomore year,
right away.
Here's a fun fact too. Glenn told me the name of his high school sometime in early 20s. And he told me the name and I couldn't believe it. I thought he was joking. I could not believe that this was the name of his high school.
It still
and
is.
And then that's crazy. And that he couldn't understand why I couldn't believe that the name of his high school is the name of his high school. Glenn, well, do you want to reveal?
Rob, they didn't do a good job. I'll put it this way. Growing up in Montgomery, Alabama, they didn't exactly do a good job of teaching us the realities of the what went on in the Civil War.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's not a very proud history in many ways in Alabama, you know. And that's not,
but at the time you had no idea even who the guy was, right?
I knew who he was, but I hadn't really put much thought into it. And I am admittedly, when it comes to any subject in this world, the worst at history, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I never cared about history. I hated history. Never found it fucking interesting. Always found it boring as shit. So there's a lot of shit that I didn't. So
Jim Crow Academy prep.
Pretty close.
Oh my God. How did you guys?
Maybe worse. Yeah. Maybe worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jefferson Davis High School. Charlie, you have anything to say about that? You don't know who he is either.
No, that's a good point.
It's like, you guys weren't paying attention at all in history?
No,
I didn't pay attention
in
history
at all. I pay attention, and I will hear it, I will learn it, I will understand it. I will walk out the door and delete all the files because they're just weighing me down, man.
It's boring.
I got shit to do, you know? Yeah, like, I can't be going around, like, thinking about every single name and date. It's crazy.
No, I'm encountering enough people in my life that I actually interact with that I need to know their names. I don't need to know a guy's name.
I'm walking out of the classroom, some dude's trying to fucking throw me in a bush because I'm short, and I'm like, wait a second, I remember the names and dates of every person in the Civil War.
Right.
Like, and then that's not going to serve me.
No. You're going to get thrown deeper into the bush.
Yeah.
For knowing.
So I got to be thinking, like, I'm constantly strategizing out there.
Just don't know stuff, nerd.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes me feel small.
Yeah, that's and then dangerous I throw you in... for me, sack. Yeah. Facts. See, I didn't even get the word facts right. Came out sacks.
This has been fun, guys. I really enjoyed taking this trip down memory lane with you. Oh, for fuck's sake. That's the coffee wearing off. God damn it. I get this like little short window of time where I'm at full operational speed and then it just all falls
and then,
off.
So what, you go 0 to 10 and then 10 to 0.
Yeah, it's all day for me, baby. Yeah.
I think you go from like 0 into the green, and then into the red for a minute.
Right, I redline.
And then somewhere lower than 0.
Because I've burned myself out, haven't I?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm low on gas, I'm low on oil, and everything starts rubbing.
Well, what's the oil in this scenario? Because the gas is the caffeine.
The gas is the caffeine, the oil is the cocaine.
Okay.
It really lubricates things. Rob, do you have any closing words for us? Would you like to say something inspirational to our audience? No? Okay.
What?
Charlie, would you like to lift people up before they...
Sure. Look, you got to take life day by day.
That's
you know, just get out there and just worry about today. Don't worry about too much tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Chin up, mm-hmm. you know, and believe in yourself and... you know, the podcast thing.
Unless you're an idiot, in which case, learn something before you believe in yourself. Because if you're a fucking idiot, you really shouldn't believe in yourself. You should believe in the person who's not an idiot. Guys, this episode is brought to you by education. Fucking please get one.